I want to introduce Mackenzie Wallace and Jeff Wurzburg. Mackenzie is a partner at Thompson Coburn. She's an experienced trial lawyer representing healthcare entities, businesses, and directors in high-stakes litigation. We also like to call it bet the company litigation. She has done work in the RICO area, ERISA, prompt pay, key TAM, false claims litigation, and matters relating to federal and state anti-kickback provisions and STAR clause. We welcome Mackenzie. Jeff Wurzburg is with Norton Rose Fulbright. I know a little bit about him. If I read all of his accolades and expertise, he should be, rightly, about 106. I'd like to say, and we're very proud to say, that he's the chair of the American Bar Association Health Law Section for Managed Care, co-chair of the program's executive committee. He serves on the board of directors for the Multi-Assistant Center at Morgan's Wonderland, which is an incredible place in San Antonio, director of the health cell. And the thing that I like to point out the most, and my favorite thing about Jeff, is that also he's the dad of twins. So welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we get started, I think we wanted to kind of understand in the crowd who is from the various pockets in the industry. If you are in-house, can you raise your hand and let us know? Okay. And are you provider side, or do we have any payers in the room as well? Awesome.
No
and
payers.
Then what about outside counsel? Or everybody else? Great. That's helpful because we want to tailor our discussion to you all. We're not going to waste a lot of time on the roadmap, but big picture, we want to kind of set the landscape, go over some of the hot areas, and then tie it throughout to our practical experience and what we're seeing in our day-to-day.
Yeah, and I think, just to set the table, some interesting stats. Hospitals and health systems spend an estimated close to $20 billion a year managing denied claims. And in adjudicating those subsequently, it's about $44 per claim. And as was referenced in the last session, payers are taking a much more aggressive approach to renegotiating contracts and taking them to term. And, anecdotal stories, but in practice, if you represent either party, you know the disruption. I mean, administratively, and then for enrollees who are getting notices from their health plans that all of a sudden their doctors may be out of network, this all has real consequences, and then subsequent potentially out of network care, or whether it falls into requirements to be continued because you're in the course of treatment, and what happens later on with disputes and trying to sort through all of that is very complicated. So there's a lot to discuss here. A lot of this will be high level because we have so much to hit on, but we'll try to get through as much as possible.
So as we dig in, we wanted to refresh you on the landscape. This is likely a statistic that many of you are aware of. In our day-to-day practice in both kind of consulting with providers, litigating, of course, managed care issues, and then really in both of our experience litigating any kind of healthcare issue, period, this psychedelic donut is in play all of the time, which is that I think it's interesting to highlight that, of course, there's a large group of employer-based private payer piece of the healthcare system. But as we all know, over the last 20 years, the expansion of private payers into MA has really kind of expanded how we litigate around that space as well.
Yeah, I just love this graphic. As Mackenzie noted, it's so much of it is commercial, even the government programs, right? It's a little deceiving when you think of how many individuals are in government programs, because you're still dealing with private payers. There was a massive expansion during COVID of the Medicaid enrollment population, and Medicaid enrolled population, I should say. We'll get into that in a little bit. But it's hard to pull back or to see how we pull back. And in fact, from a policy perspective, we're leaning into that.